In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. Every person, every human being, male or female, old or young, adult or child, every one of us has been given, has been instilled, has been created with a desire, a longing, a hunger for God, the Creator and the created. I've said this, Father Peter, many people have said this before. We are created in His image and His likeness. We are created to be in union and communion with the Creator. But yet, we go through our days and even weeks and months and even our entire lives sometimes thinking of our longing, our hunger, our desire for other things, for food, for water, for shelter, for sleep, for relationship, for love, for coffee. All the time. To get out of traffic, to get a new house, to get a bigger house, to get a better yard. All these things we spend a great deal of time and effort and money to get, to achieve. But if we really think about all these desires in life, even just one of them, we find that they are really fundamentally a desire for life. Obviously, food and water and shelter and medical things and prescriptions, all these things are a desire for life. We want to live. But what is life? That is the question. What is life? And especially, what is life we should be asking as Christians, as followers of Christ, as those who recognize at whatever level that we are created by God? I mean, life is certainly to be living, to be walking around, to be breathing, to be seeing, to be hearing, to be experiencing, to be touching, to be smelling, all these senses. This is life. This is how we understand life. But is it simply to be that way? Is it simply to get everything that we want that makes us feel better, or in our minds to live better, to be, as the slogan in the Army says, to be all we can be? Is it to feel safe or comfortable or secure or content? I mean, that's really what we've spent this last year about, is about security and health and all these things that have been done is about life and not to lose it, right? I mean, that's what we've been doing. Now, these things are not life. The Holy Fathers, the Church, the Scriptures tell us, but they all point to what life really is for us as Christians. So let's think back for a moment when we know from Genesis how God created humanity, how He created in His divine image first man and woman. So He took dirt from the earth and He fashioned it into man, into Adam. But we know from Genesis that Adam did not have life in him. He didn't have life until God did something more in shaping him. What do we know? That God breathed into him. Adam became a living soul when God breathed into him the breath of life, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And if you've been following the scriptures on a daily basis during Lent, we've been reading just about this these last couple of weeks in Genesis, about God creating the world and creating all the things in it, including, and first and foremost, in his divine image, man and woman. And he has given us something unique, and this is what it says here. He breathed into us life. This, the breath of life, the very presence of God himself within us. This is life. And if I ended just here, if I ended right now, this is the punchline. This is life that God breathed in each and every one of us by His Holy Spirit. This is life. All these other things are necessary to keep us alive. But this is life. So then, if this is true, and it is, if this is truth that we understand, why is there this longing? Why is there this constant hunger, this desire, these desires, this aching in our souls and our bodies to live? Why do we have this? What did Adam do with this greatest gift that he was given, this greatest gift that we inherited? What did Adam do with this? Well, we know what he did with it, right? He received this breath of life, but through disobedience, he expelled this breath. He exhaled God. I'm reading from something someone said. He exhaled God. I love that. Because that's what Adam did. That's what first man and woman, they did with this beautiful gift that they were given of life, of divine life, of the breath of God. Now, he didn't get rid of God altogether. God has been with us since the beginning of his creation because of his mercy and his love and his compassion for his creation. He has been with us, but it's been distorted. Those of you who've heard me preach at funerals, I often refer to this. That's what the hymns of the funeral service are there to remind us about. The Evloitaria that we chant at all these services, they remind us at memorial services and funerals. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your rules of life. The company of saints has found the source of life and the entrance to paradise. May I find too the way through repentance, for I am lost. I have lost this breath of life. I have exhaled it through my sin. It has been distorted. It has been disfigured. And I am a stray sheep. Bring me back to you, O Savior, and save me. And again, return to me. And finally, icon I am of your ineffable glory. Even though the marks of sin are on me, even though we in our lives sin, and as it says in these hymns, are disfigured and distorted and broken, the brokenness of life, we pray, we lift up for His mercy and His compassion and His love to restore us back to this ancient beauty. Take pity, Lord, on your own creation and cleanse me in your compassion. And my cherished homeland do you grant to me, making me again a citizen of paradise. This is the hunger that we have. This is the source of the desires that we have in life. And sadly, many are seeking, trying to fill this, trying to satiate, trying to even get rid of these desires that we don't understand through so many other things and so many distortions even in life. But we need to understand and recognize. And this is why we hear these gospels and these epistles, and we celebrate these feasts time and time again to remind us of this truth in our life. This desire for the breath of God, for the divine image that has been disfigured, but to be restored to it. This is our journey in life. This is our goal, salvation. This is why we do what we do, not just because it's a time on the calendar to schedule to be here or to be there or to do the things that St. Gregory of Palamas so beautifully expressed and embodied and lived through prayer and fasting, through almsgiving, through serving. These things are there for us to get back to this, to fill, to complete, to help us to fill our stomachs, to fill our hearts, to return so that we are filled with this breath of life. St. Gregory of Palamas, as we know, we commemorate him on this second Sunday of Lent. And the controversy, if you will, that surrounds his life is the very essence of this longing, this desire for God. There was another individual who was teaching that you can know God in your mind, intellectually, that he knew more than the prophets and the saints and everybody who'd come before him, that this is how you know God. You study and you understand. He was a philosopher. But St. Gregory said, no, that is not how you know God. You don't just know about him. You know him in your heart and in his energies. We don't know his, he talks about essence and energies. He's the unknowable in his essence, but in his energies, how he speaks to us in our hearts, how he speaks to us and reveals himself to us in the people around us, in creation, in those little moments in our lives, whether they're joyous or whether they're sorrowful, this is how he reveals himself to us. And this is what St. Gregory was preaching and teaching. In the stillness of our heart, we know him. And isn't that why we are here? Isn't that why we are here, not just here today, but why we are here in this world, why we are created? To see him, to know him, to return to him, to be restored to that ancient beauty, to understand and to live in this breath of God, in this breath of life, and to live it more fully. This is the life of St. Gregory of Palamas. This is the life of the saints, the prophets, the Old Testament righteous, everyone pointing and directing us to God in his Son, Jesus Christ. It may be that it takes us a long time to get to the point that the prodigal son got to come to our senses. I know this from my own self, to come to our senses and to recognize and to understand, not just here, but here, that we were created with this breath of God. And then this desire and this longing that distracts us in life, to find it in understanding that we were created with this breath of God. This is the fullness of life. This indeed is life. This is our salvation. This is what we are on our journey for. One other saint who said, Saint Irenaeus of Lyons in the second century, he wrote that the glory of God is a man fully alive. The glory of God is a person fully alive. God's breath, God's life, God's light These are all our experiences of God's glory. And when His glory truly, truly shines and fills us in our hearts, then we are the expression of the glory of God. That's our experience of God's glory in our life. That is when we become fully alive. This is what we are seeking, and this is where it is found. The glory of God and its most supreme and perfect expression in the person of Jesus Christ. This is when we are fully alive, when we understand this, when we accept this, when we live this, when we share this. This is life. The glory of God is a man fully alive. To God, therefore, be all glory, honor, and worship to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.